Good morning. Please remain seated as we join together in our hymn of preparation. Good morning and welcome to everyone. A very special welcome to you that are visiting with us this morning. We want you to know and to feel that you are always welcome here with us. I want to ask that members and visitors alike now please register your attendance as the attendance pads are passed down the pew. And if you are a visitor looking for a church home, please give us your address and phone number, and we'll have someone get in contact with you and let you know more about what's going on in the life of the church. I want to report to you that this morning was our first 828 Celebrate Praise and Worship service, and we consider it a great success. We were hoping to have between 50 and 75 people at the first service. We had about 130 this morning, so we are very excited that that service got off to such a good start. Main Streeters, you are reminded that you have a meeting scheduled on August the 22nd, and that will be a music presentation by one of our former choir directors, Shaw Thompson, Shaw and Rebecca Thompson, and they will be accompanied by Shaw's brother, Robin Thompson. That will be at 11:30 in the Trinity Classroom, a meal following that at the Country Club. The meal will be $10 a piece, and you need to purchase tickets for the meal no later than this Wednesday, August the 16th, by contacting the church office. Also, our Wednesday night gathering series starts back in full force this week. This Wednesday night's program will be a report on the Brazil trip by Caroline Dennis. You'll note that we are catering some of the gathering meals this week, so it is very important that we get a good count. So you do need to make reservations by filling out the reservation cards, and I did not check the pews to make sure that there are reservation cards in the pews this morning. But if not, call the church office and let them know that you will be there. We will be accepting standing reservations, so if you want to make a standing reservation, let the church office know that. The only thing is, if you do have a standing reservation, since some of the meals will be catered, it is very important, if you're not going to be there, to contact the church office and let them know you won't be there on a particular week. Now, there are some Sunday school classes who have expressed an interest in continuing to do meals for the Wednesday gathering as a fundraiser for those classes. So if you are a class that would like to do one of the meals for the gathering, you need to contact either Caroline Dennis or Vicki Chandler or Lorraine Stockman no later than August 20th and let them know that you would like to do a meal. There are several dates available in October and November, so if you would contact them and let them know that you would like to do a meal. There is a meal committee that will be approving the meals so that we make sure that we have a very helpful meal each Wednesday evening. Also, the special parenting workshop series begins this afternoon. Will be from 5 to 7 o'clock in the fellowship hall. This Sunday's program will be led by Don Cantrell, and the topic will be cyberspace communities and the lack of privacy on the computer. There will be child care for preschoolers and activities for elementary students, and there will be a meal served. So that's this afternoon or this evening, 5 to 7 in the fellowship hall. And finally, there is an informational meeting in the Trinity classroom this afternoon at 3 o'clock for those of you that might be interested in signing up for a disciple Bible study coming up this fall. If you have not already done so, I ask you to please consider that. This is an excellent way to get into God's Word and to learn more about God's Word, and you will truly be blessed by participating in one of the Disciple Bible Studies. Now let us prepare our hearts for worship.
Please stand for the call to worship. As we come together today, O Lord, we are tossed to and fro on waves of fear and doubt. O calmer of troubled waters, let us hear again your reassuring words. Take heart, it is I, have no fear. As we come here together today, O Lord, we are driven here and there by winds of ambition and pride. Come, Lord Jesus, and bless our worship with the gift of your presence, that we may find peace for our anxious hearts and meaning for our troubled lives.
Thank you.
seated. Please join me in the invocation in your bulletin, please. O God, at our birth, you thrust us into new worlds. During the span of our years, you deliver us into new life. And at our death, you receive us into still another new journey. O Creator, Deliverer, and Comforter, in you we place our trust, and we gratefully acknowledge your presence, witnessing forever against destruction, abandonment, and despair. Amen. Now I'd like to call on Robbie Coley for a disciple moment.
The school year has started, and it's now time for us to start talking about disciple Bible study again, which we do this time every year. And who better than me, who probably has been transformed more from disciple Bible study than anyone else. I'm definitely out of my comfort zone, so God called us to be disciples, and I'm trying to stand and witness to you what it has meant to me. What is disciple Bible study? Well, it was formed by a team of people who had a vision, who had a dream. And it was formed on the premise that people were hungry for the Word of God. They were hungry for fellowship, of prayer and study. And they wanted a sense of appropriate missions to perform as baptized Christians who are committed. And that was me. I had been born in the church, and I served MYF, was there every time the doors were open. My children, every time they said, Robbie will do it. I was on every committee. I taught every Sunday school class. I baked every meal. And I did lots of things in the church. And when my children grew up and they were gone, I kind of fell out of it and didn't go to church for a long time. I'd go with family or friends every now and then, but didn't have a church home. Until someone from Main Street United Methodist Church met me at my work and was talking about church and told me about this wonderful program that she was on fire for, which was Disciple Bible Study. And before I knew it, I was here with Disciple One. When they passed around the table and they said, well, what church are you with and what church are you with? I was the last one. I'm going, well, I really don't go to church. So I felt like a heathen right then. But I was hungry. I was lacking, and God knew that. And he didn't call me to come back to church and do things anymore. He called me back to his word. And I read the Bible front and back for the first time in all my life. And I learned things that I never even knew. And it touched my heart, and it made me so on fire for the Word that people just couldn't even be around me all year. And so after Disciple 1, I taught Disciple 1, Disciple 2, Disciple 3, Disciple 4, and Jesus in the Gospels. And I saw Jesus. If you say you want God to speak to you, and you're not hearing him, you're not reading his Word. If you want to see God, you're going to see him through Jesus. And I didn't have time, or said I didn't have time, but I made time, and it's the best decision I ever made. So those of you who would really like to see Jesus, who would really like to learn the Bible, I encourage you, come to the information meeting this afternoon about Disciple Bible Study. It will change your life. Thank you.
As we come to our time of prayer, I have several concerns to lift up. We have two members in Hospice House. We have Carol Bateman, who went to Hospice House day before yesterday. We also have Walter Scott from Wesley Commons, who is at Hospice House. We have Doris McKinney in the hospital list. We have Ann Flincham recovering from knee surgery, and also Cindy Harris recovering from knee surgery. As well as all the others we have listed in our prayer concerns, please note them as we pray. And I do also want to thank Reverend Larry Jenkins for filling in the pulpit last week, and Reverend Jim Medley for assisting with the early service last week. And I want to thank everybody for coming out and supporting the early morning 8:28 Celebrate service. We had 120 people there this morning, and I wondered what that would mean about 11 o'clock, but it seems that we still have a good crowd here at 11. Those of you who came at 8:28, though, you will find today's sermon at 11 remarkably similar to the one that I've already delivered. Expanded version. I also am thankful for a week's vacation. Caroline and I left together and came back together. Some of you lost money. And remind you that today we have a very important and timely event. The parenting series begins at 5 o'clock today. Please put that on your afternoon schedule. Let us pray. Holy Father, living Lord, guiding Spirit, where can we go to find peace? The world seems to be on edge, people against people, and faith against faith, and nation against nation. Where can we go to find peace? In this moment, in this time of prayer, we reach out to you and claim the gift of your peace, which passes all human understanding. We have searched for the things to make us whole. We have fought and bought and sought the pieces to complete our lives, and we have it all, or almost have it, and still, something is missing. Some part of our hearts is empty and dark. Fill us, Lord, with your love and light and peace, and with the presence of your Holy Spirit. Give us a faith to trust and live in such a way that our doubts are overcome and others seeing our faith will move closer to you. Lord, we do pray for this world and what we have made of it. We do pray for those who are in despair or near the end of their physical life. We pray for those who are grieving the loss of loved ones, and for those who are raising children in a difficult time, for those who have marital problems, for those who have financial problems. Lord, we lift up these private prayers in our hearts before you. Lord, hear our prayers, for we pray in the name of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And we pray as he taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I invite the children down front now for a special message with Mary Alexander.
Good morning, everybody. How are y'all? Well, I can see from looking at you that a lot of you have grown taller this summer. Did you have to get new clothes for school? I know you have, Celia. How about you? Did everybody have a new teacher this year at school? Yeah. Did you have a new Sunday school teacher today? A new class? A lot of changes going on. We had the early morning 8:28 celebrate. Did some of you come to that? That was a change, so we've got lots of changes. And there are lots of changes in our lives all the time. We have new baby brothers and sisters. We go to different schools. We maybe move to new places. But you know what doesn't change? God's love for us and the fact that He's always there for us. And so anytime we have changes, all we have to do is rest assured that He will be there for us and help us through them. Can we say a little prayer this morning? Dear God, thank You for always being with us and guiding us through all the changes of life and all the blessings You bestow. Amen.
Let us greet one another. Let us pass the peace.
The Old Testament reading comes from 2 Samuel chapter 18, verses 5 through 9, and verses 31 through 33. The king commanded Joab, Abishai, and Ittai, "Be gentle with the young man Absalom for my sake." And all the troops heard the king giving orders concerning Absalom to each of the commanders. The army marched into the field to fight Israel, and the battle took place in the forest of Ephraim. There the army of Israel was defeated by David's men, and the casualties that day were great, 20,000 men. The battle spread out over the whole countryside, and the forest claimed more lives that day than the sword. Now Absalom happened to meet David's men. He was riding his mule, and as the mule went under the thick branches of a large oak, Absalom's head got caught in the tree. He was left hanging in midair, while the mule he was riding kept on going. Then the Cushite arrived and said, "My lord, the king, hear the good news. The Lord has delivered you today from all who rose up against you." The king asked the Cushite, "Is the young man Absalom safe?" The Cushite replied, "May the enemies of my lord the king and all who rise up to harm you be like that young man." The king was shaken. He went up to the room over the gateway and he wept. As he went, he said, "Oh, my son Absalom, my son Absalom, if only I had died instead of you. Oh, Absalom, my son." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The epistle reading this morning comes from Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25 through chapter 5, verse 2. "Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. He who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with his own hands, that he may have something to share with those in need. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. And Ephesians 5. Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Our gifts and our special offerings.
Thank you. Creator God, the earth is yours and the fullness thereof. We thank you for the portion you entrust unto us. It is enough to meet our every need and for every good cause. We pray your blessings upon this return, this tithe unto you. Bless it to continue the ministry of your church and to build the kingdom of your Son, Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen.
Seated. We will not have a gospel reading today, but instead another epistle reading from 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter. Hear now God's word. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful. It is not arrogant or rude. Love does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrong, but rejoices in the right. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. As for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. For our knowledge is imperfect, and our prophecy is imperfect. But when the perfect comes, the imperfect will pass away. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I gave up childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face.
Now I know in part. Then I shall understand fully, even as I have been fully understood. So faith, hope, love abide, these three. But the greatest of these is love. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Now we will not have the affirmation of faith at this time, but it is my joy that we, after the closing hymn, will be welcoming several people into our membership. We'll be welcoming Don Marino, Tony and Susan McLean, and Jessica McLean, and Jalen Hawkins as well. And during that time, we will affirm our faith as they reaffirm their faith while joining. So, as we go straight into the sermon, let us pray. Holy Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of every heart be acceptable unto you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Now, as I did warn you, if you came to the early service, you'll find this will be a remarkably similar message, but expanded. I asked this morning, and I ask again, what good is a dead king? Charlemagne was the greatest Christian ruler of the early Middle Ages. And historians record that after his death, there was a huge funeral procession from the castle to the cathedral. And as tradition had it, when the royal casket arrived with pomp and circumstance, it was met by the local bishop who barred the door to the cathedral. And he asked beyond the barred door, "Who comes here?" The answer from the royal page was, "Charlemagne, Lord and King of the Holy Roman Empire." The bishop said, "Him I know not. Who comes here?" The herald was a bit shaken and he said, "Charles the Great, a good and honest man of the earth." And the bishop said, "Him I know not. Who comes here?" The royal herald was now completely crushed and he responded, "Charles, a lowly sinner who begs the grace of Christ." To which the bishop responded, "Enter. Enter and receive Christ's gift of life." What a reminder of who we really are. And what an antidote to spiritual pride. 1 Corinthians 13 is smack in the middle of three chapters dealing with spiritual pride. I know that we usually read it at weddings, and it's good for weddings, but it is much, much more than that. Much more. If you read it carefully, it is a lot more like a smack across the mouth than it is a romantic reading of love for a wedding. It smacks us in our pride. It shuts our mouth before God. Paul the Apostle meant to shut the Corinthians' mouths. Imagine pride and ego and arguing in a Christian church. Aren't you glad that we don't do such things? The gospel is God loves you. And by God's Spirit within you, you are to humbly pass that love on to others. That is the gospel completed. God loves you, and God's Spirit inhabits you and enables you to pass that same love and hope and forgiveness on to others. But there is a perverse flip side to the gospel, where some people feel that God ought to love me, and that is spiritual pride. That kind of pride makes all of your gifts explode into nothing. Spiritual, our physical, our monetary, our time, our talents, they explode into nothing if your faith is based upon God ought to love me. You multiply a gift of God by ego and you get a big fat zero. You make it nothing. You make it naught. You make it empty. And this is what was going on in Corinth. Some were saying, "I give money, yay me. Or I speak in tongues, I'm special. I have so much faith, well, I bet I could move mountains. Bet I could. Or I'm willing to die for my faith in God." Corinth went from celebrating themselves and their cleverness. It was a city that was just engrossed in Greek philosophy of the time, and they converted from their engrossment and their interest and the fashion of the day of philosophy, they kind of swapped over to Christianity as their new fashion of the day. And they were almost Christian, but they didn't quite have it. How tragic to be almost Christian. They had the words, and they had the gospel story. But instead of binding together as a community under Christ, instead of embracing one another and the world around them, instead of that, they divided up and they started looking down on others according to who had which gift or which ability or which resource. Imagine, I have studied and filled my brain with all mysteries and all knowledge, and I even have prophetic powers. And Paul said, good, good. But if you do not have love, you are nothing. Another might say, I give away my money and my possessions. And Paul said, if you do not have love in your heart, your giving equals nothing. And then one said, I speak in tongues. Paul said, tongues? If you have no love in your heart, your tongues are nothing more than a clanging gong or a banging cymbal. Without love, your tongues are just noise, not praise, not worship. Another competing Corinthian Christian said, I have so much faith, I bet I could move mountains. And Paul said, even mustard seed faith will do that. But even moving mountains or doing great things without the love of Christ equals zero. A faith without love in its heart is as empty and as dry as a bone. There is no life in it. There is no future in it. There is no God in it. And finally, the trump card. Someone might declare why I would give up my body to be burned for my faith. Top that. And Paul answers, okay, give up your body to be burned. Be martyred for your faith. But if there is no love in your heart, you gain nothing. God is not impressed. Your life and your faith amount to nothing if God is not in it. You always thought that this was a wedding text. I want you to understand that it is more. And maybe now you think, okay, it was speaking to the Corinthians. It's an ancient text, but I want to bring it up to date. I serve on committees. I spend hours and hours on projects. I give of my talents and my time and my money, and I have pulled strings and I have cut red tape and I have moved mountains for this church to make things happen. And I've even ruined my faith fretting over this church. Paul would ask, was it done because of the overflowing love of God in your heart? Then good. But if it was done to gain glory for yourself, then it was nothing. And God is not impressed. A whole lot of people do a whole lot of things in the name of faith which have nothing whatever to do with the love of God in Christ. Doing stuff and giving away stuff and giving time and talents and gifts and even giving your life is not enough if you don't first give your heart to God in Christ. And what I mean is very specific. God made His nature, His personality, His face, His self known in Jesus Christ. And He offers us relationship, real and life-changing and eternal. No matter how grandly we try to show faith on our own, without first having the love of Christ in our hearts, it falls flat. It is not good. It is just one more way that we try to put ourselves above others who do less than we do. Our mind, our money, our spiritual gifts, even our bodies to be burned amount to nothing if we don't first really and truly have the love of God in our hearts. God gives us love not because we deserve it, not because we earn it by what we do. We cannot earn God's love. That is an absurdity. The fact that someone would even think that shows a complete misunderstanding of God's love. Love simply is, and it is the mark of God's presence. For God is love. Love is God's nature, and love cannot be and has never been earned. We must first know our need and accept God's love. And then we will be able to truly love others. With Jesus Christ inside, your love, your life will look like this. Not just during a wedding, not just at a marriage, but always and everywhere, and even with people you don't like. Didn't Jesus say, love your enemies? The love of Christ in you shows outwardly as, and Paul writes these down, these positives, it shows outwardly as patience. Are you patient? The love of Christ in you shows outwardly as kindness. Are you kind? If the love of Christ is in you, then you are not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. The love of Christ in you does not insist on its own way all the time. It is not quick to anger nor resentful. The love of Christ in you does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. The love of Christ in you can bear all things, believe all things, hope all things, endure all things. The love of Christ never ends. All this stuff you can do or have done will come to an end. All that lasts is the love of God. That's the one thing that matters. Make sure the love of God is where you build your life and where you place your hope. Finally, Paul speaks true but very harsh words to the Corinthians and to you and to me. Paul is saying at the end of this chapter, grow up, grow up. Quit comparing, quit competing, quit believing in your baby faith that you can impress God. Paul puts it this way, when I was a child, I spoke like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became an adult, a man or a woman, I put away childish ways. I stopped thinking the way you think. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then we will see face to face. He's saying, okay, you might not completely understand now, but one day you will, and it's important that you do. Now I know only in part, but then I will know fully, even as I have been fully known. One day God will judge not what we think is important, but upon seeing us face to face, will judge whether we accepted His love into our hearts as our only hope and our only reason to live. Without it in our lives amount to nothing. With it, we have God's eternal embrace. In the Christian vocabulary, love is not a wimpy word. Wimpy, weak, ineffectual. Love is not that kind of word, though our culture kind of throws it around like that. Jesus was a hand grenade jumper. He was a hero. One who could have called down the wrath of heaven, but instead, out of love, said to Judas, do what you do quickly. They could not scare him. They could not shut him up. They could not control him. So they decided to kill him. And as they nailed him there, no whining, but praying. Praying for those who nailed him there on trumped up charges. And even as he died, they could not control him. He blessed and cursed not. He forgave the thief who died one cross over. He forgave those who watched, not knowing at all what they were doing. 1,000,000 angels he could have called down, but instead he took our sins upon him as the one perfect sacrifice. So we could go home to God forgiven, face to face one day. Home to God from whom we came and to whom we can return by the love of Jesus Christ. We all walk around with the hand grenade pin pulled. And only it is only a question of how long the fuse is of death and judgment when it'll catch up with us. Jesus has already jumped on that particular grenade for us. Now, how do we respond to God's great gift? His gift, His victory over sin and death. I'll finish with a story. A veteran of 40 years as a Christian missionary died, and this was found in his billfold. It was a worn-out carbon copy of a little essay on love. It sort of follows the pattern of 1 Corinthians 13 in its depth. It said, "If I have mastered the language ever so perfectly and speak it like a pundit, but have not the love that grips the heart, I am nothing. If I have decorations and diplomas and academic honors, but have not the touch of understanding love, I am nothing. If I have great ideals and magnificent plans and wonderful visions, but have not the love that sweats and bleeds and weeps and prays and pleads, I am nothing. If I leave home and friends and comfort and surrender my body to be consumed in the heat and the sweat and the mildew of India, but have not the love that knows only of empathy and mercy and forgiveness, I am nothing. If I can heal all manner of sickness and disease, but wound hearts and hurt feelings for want of love, I am nothing. If I write books and publish learned articles, but fail to transcribe the word of the cross in the language of love in my life, I am nothing. If I am offering my gift at the altar, and there remember that I have something against a brother or a sister, and do not seek to reconcile with them, I am nothing. Do not lead an empty life. Seek first the love of God in your heart, and then all that is good and godly will follow and will flow." Amen. Please be seated. I ask you to turn to page 50 as we reaffirm the faith and receive new members Don Marino, Tony and Susan McLean, Jessa McLean, and Jalen Hawkins. I'll ask them to come forward. After the service, I'll ask them to stand with me, and after they are fully members, they are fair game for Sunday school classes, men's group, women's circles, youth activities, and whatever else. Find out what talents they have, and we'll give them a place to serve. All of you together, I ask, and join me on page 50 at the renunciation. I ask you on behalf of the whole church, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice and oppression, in whatever forms they present themselves? Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior? Put your whole trust in His grace and promise to serve Him as your Lord in union with the church, which Christ has opened to people of all ages, nations, and races. According to the grace given to you, will you remain faithful members of Christ's holy church and serve as Christ's representatives in the world? Now let us join together, entire congregation, in professing the Christian faith as contained in the Old and New Testaments. Let us answer together. Do you believe in God the Father? I believe in God the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. Do you believe in Jesus Christ? I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day He rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father, and will come again to judge the living and the dead. Do you believe in the Holy Spirit? I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We welcome you today as brothers and sisters in Christ. Jalen, and you too. And I'll have them stand with me at the end as we exit today for you to greet. Now, if you'll turn toward the congregation. Now, receive this blessing. Be blessed with the full knowledge of the love of God, the depth of the grace and forgiveness in the presence of God which is yours through Jesus Christ, and with the comfort and the wisdom and the guidance which is yours through the Holy Spirit. You have been blessed. Be a blessing. In Jesus' name, amen.